In your Bibles this morning, if you will, please, Matthew chapter number 23 is our jump-off spot this morning. We have a number of scriptures. We're not going to ask you to turn to all of them, but if you'd like to take a few notes, we're never adverse to that. Also, we mentioned that because we're on live stream, you have two opportunities for a recording there. And then I believe they're still being recorded on our website also. And so you can pick them up any way that you need to. Recommend them to your friends if they've been a help to you. Talk to us if they haven't been. We'll try to do something to encourage the proper use of them. We want to mention today, here's the title of the message, A Daddy Like Our Father. A Daddy Like Our Father. God could have used a lot of picture words to describe himself to us. In fact, he did use a number. But the one that he seemed to be keep coming back to, and not that he had forgotten or anything, but the one that he continually used was that of Father. In fact, it's a word really that the Lord is jealous of. In our text today, Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 9, notice what the Lord Jesus says. He says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father in heaven." And I believe that the Lord Jesus is saying here that there's so much difference between Father in heaven and daddies here on earth. He said, don't even use my Father's name in reference to a human daddy. And so you know from that we could go downhill a ways on the message this morning, because there's not a person here today that has a daddy that probably, if they've been schooled in church at all, have not used the term father. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't use the term father. Of course, there is a religious group, and they use the word father for their priests. And improper altogether. Improper. The Bible teaches us that it's improper. The word father occurs in your Bible 970 times. Now, it's not all in reference to God. He talks about your fathers and your fathers and the fathers and so forth. But 970 times, the first time in Genesis chapter 2, the last time in Genesis chapter 14. And as we begin today in our message, let me say this to every daddy here. Kids will build their idea and their thoughts about the Lord based on you. Children will develop their first impressions of God is based on their father, their daddy. Who has not disappointed their children in that respect? If God were like my dad, what would God be like? If God the Father was like me, what would God the Father be like? And so as I wrestled some of these things, I got to thinking about what the world thinks is manifests a good dad. What does the world call a good dad? Well, he might be a sports fiend. He may never have dribbled a basketball or thrown a football. He may never have driven a golf cart or slapped a golf ball as he's out playing cow pasture pool. But he does know some stats. He knows the quarterback of all the different NFL teams and many of the college teams. And he's a sports nut. And of course, he deals with his boys in that deal. And someone says, man, he must be a good dad. Well, and then, of course, the devil comes along and he says, no, that's not the only thing. Said, if he's going to be a good dad, he has to have lots of money. You know, you've heard the term sugar daddy, because some fella had all kinds of money and was willing to share it with different people at different times for different reasons. And if he just has enough money, and so many daddies have been out pursuing the dollar because they think if I just get a little bit more, then I'll be a good daddy, regardless of whatever else is missing in my life. Someone says, no, it's the kind of car you drive. It's the kind of car you drive. I hope that's not true. I drive a 1999 Jeep. We went home and my brother's car is available to us. My brother who passed away, his son got the car and he makes that car available to us whenever we're there. And it's a newer car and it drives extremely well. It handles good. It's good on fuel and one thing or another. And we came home from that and I got in my Jeep and I told Miss Judy we were going somewhere. And I said, boy, this isn't quite like Brother Bob's car, is it? And so I'm glad that that's not the way that you measure whether you're a successful daddy or not. How about social acceptance? What society thinks of you? And of course, because of that, men do all kinds of crazy things, trying to be socially acceptable. They wear certain kinds of clothes. They go certain places. They will play a certain kind of music. They tell the same kind of jokes, and they're wanting to be sociably acceptable. They go where they ought not to go. They do things they know they ought not to do because they believe that if they just do the right thing, that people will accept them, and they would be considered a good daddy. How about education? Does education make a good daddy? Now, let me say this about education. I'm not against education at all. In fact, I think if you're not learning, you're probably dying. You don't have to go to a building to be educated. But I know this, too, about education. If you educate a fool, all you have is an educated fool. He's still a fool. And if you educate him beyond his intelligence, or you educate him beyond his ability to accept the Word of God by faith, you have hindered him rather than helping him. Many men who are tremendously well-educated are extremely poor daddies. And we see examples of that everywhere today. Someone says, well, we'll go by their assets. How many houses? How much land? Do they own any stocks or bonds? Or are they in Bitcoin? How many Bitcoin do they have? And by that, we could establish whether or not they're a good daddy, a good provider, and one thing or another. I was thinking the other day that used to, if a person smiled and they had nice teeth, you think, boy, daddy paid through the nose for those teeth. And he must be a good daddy because he does that. Today, it usually means that they have a good welfare program. My daughter works for a doctor's office and they do many more welfare dental procedures than they do other people, private pay or even insurance pay. And so what today, we see kind of the world's outlook and the Ausblick, the moment notice of what a good daddy is. What are some of the tributes of God the Father that maybe an earthly daddy ought to think about, consider? Well, number one, let me say, God the Father is always there. God the Father is always there. In Psalms 139, verse number 8, the Bible says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And then the writer of Hebrews said it this way, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And yet we know that men all over the country have left their home and left their family and left a wife and children and went after some young twit that didn't know how to boil water and one thing or another. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always going to be there. In Psalms chapter 46 and verse number 1, the Bible speaking of God the Father said that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. America today is in trouble because of absentee daddies. We are in trouble today because of absentee daddies. And we can sugarcoat that any way we want to. And we can say, well, this and well, that, and excuse and excuse and excuse. We can go through all that thing, but we come back to the original statement, America is in trouble today because of absentee daddies. Daddies who refuse to take up their responsibility. They believe that siring a child makes them a good daddy. And famous basketball players a few years ago were almost in a contest over who could prove that they had sired the most daddies, and not one of them was a good daddy himself. Not one. Absentee daddies. Let me tell you about God the Father. He's always there. He's always there. When I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, He was there encouraging me. And when I had done something that I wasn't supposed to be doing, He was there rebuking me and convicting me and trying to bring me back, trying to get me back on the street, as we heard about in Sunday school today. In fact, let me just say, if you're missing Sunday school, you're missing a blessing for the adult Sunday school class. Brother Weaver's done a great job with that. I trust you'll get involved in that. But we need to understand the importance of being there, being there. Now, you're not always going to be there for your kids without a plan. You've got to have a plan. And based on, or what your plan is based on, will make all the difference in the world as to whether or not you and I are successful. So, Brother Sutton, if you were to rate yourself as a daddy, how would you rate it? Well, between what? Between one and what? I've made some terrible mistakes as a daddy. Terrible mistakes. Mistakes I ask God's forgiveness over time and time and time. Not necessarily His forgiveness, because I believe I've been forgiven. I think if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But what I ask Him for is for a way to overcome mistakes in the past. And I believe that God has given me some ideas and has given me some ways, and God has moved on the halves of some different people, including my children, to say, I believe I'll live to see that corrected. And that's my hope, and that's my dream, that's my desire. We need to be a present thing. Now, let me say this, and this may sound harsh, but you listen until I get through. I believe that the only reason for not being there is death. The only reason for not being there as a daddy is death. Everything else is just an excuse. Now let me explain that. Somebody says, but I was in the military. But didn't you make the choice to get in the military? Did you make the choice to get in the military before or after you became a father? And if it was before, then why did you go ahead and have children? If it was after, why did you desert your children to go to the military? Listen, I'm here to tell you, God the Father is present. He's there. And if we're going to emulate Him, we have to be there. And somebody says, well, I picked someone to be in my place while I wasn't there. But it wasn't you. It wasn't you. Might have been a neighbor, might have been grandpa, might have been a wife or a spouse, but it wasn't you. And if you weren't there, you have something you need to talk to God about. And listen, you have something you need to talk to your kids about. Kids are very understanding when daddy starts out a sentence with, I sure am sorry. They'll listen. Unless you've said it 1,000 times already and then proved on the other side of that statement that you didn't really mean it. So, God the Father's there. Secondly, God the Father is consistent. He's consistent. James chapter 1, verse number 17 is the reference. We use this verse of Scripture often. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible testifies that our Father is always the same. There's no variableness. He's not a Saturday God and a Sunday God and a Monday God and a Pittsburgh God and a Denver God and an El Paso God. He's God and He's always consistent. And I know a lot of believers today that they're not real consistent. They're not real consistent. It seems like we're on again, off again, up again, down again, hot, cold, lukewarm, and we're not real consistent. God would have us to be a consistent people of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so to be consistent, we need to have a standard. And so what are you using for your standard? Well, you know, I saw this movie one time and, oh, what's his name? He really impressed me. And that's kind of been my standard. You know, I love John Wayne. I think he's a tremendous patriot. I think he's a tremendous actor. But I'm not going to model my life after him. Audie Murphy, the most decorated military person in the history, I think, of our country, at least at the time of his dismissal from the military. Had a good last name, Murphy. But I'm not going to model my life after him. We have to have a standard. Here's where we learn of our standard. And our standard ought to be God the Father. You know, when we see Jesus, we're going to be just like Him. And I got a real sneaky feeling as I study the Word of God that Jesus and the Father are one. They agree in one. They're the same. And so Jesus said, "If you've seen me, how say you? Show us the Father." And so we need to have a pattern. We need to have a reference point. And we need to not compare ourselves amongst ourselves, but compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus. You know, a lot of people are going to hell today because they compare themselves to people rather than comparing themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you've done any door knocking, if you've done any witnessing to people on the street, if you've done any calling to people, going back into homes that used to come and so forth, then you've heard this. My life is as good as anybody in your church. And sometimes I have to kind of drop my head and say, well, that may be true. That may be true. But I'll guarantee you it's not as good as the head of our church. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we are foolish, not wise, the Bible says, to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we can compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus. And when we do that, we find that we have come short of the glory of God. But thank God, grace, faith, mercy, compassion, those will make up for that in the heart of an honest believer that comes to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness and to grow thereby. So the Lord Jesus, he's always consistent. And then next, he's always truthful. The Bible says of our God, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You see, God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And yet I know daddies that lie consistently to their kids. Why they weren't there, and why they weren't there, and why they did this, and why they did that, and why they can't do something else. One of the things that really, it's a difficult thing with me. When someone says that they need money, and they come to the church, and they want money, and then you start looking around, and there's beer cans in the trash can, and cigarettes on the coffee table, and probably other kinds of liquor and so forth, and just a waste of money, and telling their kids, well, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. Daddy, I'd like to have some new shoes. Well, honey, I'd really like to get you some new shoes, but we just can't afford them. That was that splits or splats opening up as they guzzled that at, what, $3 a can or whatever it is. Truthful. Our Father is truthful. I heard of a couple that put their three-year-old child in bed one night. They tucked him in and everything and went out, and they're having a little time together, and the family room, and they heard some whining, whimpering coming from the bedroom. They thought, well, something's wrong, and they went in. And when he saw them, he just burst into crying, and they couldn't hardly understand what he was saying. And come to find out, he had a penny, and he had swallowed it, and he was sure he was going to die. And so Daddy's trying to console him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And so Daddy, without the child seeing him, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a penny and acted like he pulled it out of the kid's ear and said, here, son, you didn't lose your penny after all. And the kid says, wow. And he snatched the penny, popped it in his mouth, swallowed, and said, do it again, Daddy. Truthful. You know, when you tell a child a lie once, twice, three times, how often do you have to lie to a child before he says, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. If I were to call their daddy a liar, the child would get mad at me. But he'll walk away saying the preacher was right. And incidentally, I wouldn't call a daddy a liar to a child. I'd tack my tongue to a cottonwood tree and walk off a half a mile before I taught a child to disrespect his parents, her parents. We need to understand that the excuses that we give our children are just this, they're the skinneries. And, oh, it looks good on the outside. But when you dig into it a little bit, it's just a lie. It's just a lie. Coming to church on Sunday night? Well, you know, I don't know. Might be sick. One day, a lady in Gillette, Wyoming, and I was so green that if I'd have stopped walking, I'd have grown roots, I think. And she called one day and she said, Pastor, I won't come this morning. My boys are just not feeling very good. And off the top of my head, I said, don't let your child be an excuse to keep you home on Sunday. For if you do, you might just find your excuses gone come Monday. She came into the preaching service, apologized for missing Sunday school, and said, Pastor, you're absolutely right. I was just making an excuse, which is really just a lie. We need to understand that God is truthful. In fact, didn't Jesus say he is the way, the truth, and the life? And that no man could come to the Father but by him. Speaking of this book, which is the Word of God, speaking of this book, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, how we need to be truthful. And then I know that my Father in heaven will listen. He'll listen. I hear children, adult children, say often, but he won't listen to me. Now, I think there's a right way and a wrong way to speak to your father, to your daddy. But they're right many times when they say he won't listen. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God's listening. Psalm 50 and verse number 15, he says, and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalms 91 and verse number 15, it says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalms 145, verse number 18, he says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He listens. He listens. Do you have time to listen to your children? Oh, you have the time, but are you taking the children's time and giving it to something else? Used to be, they'd give it to a golf ball or a rod and reel. Now they give it to 24-hour TV. What about smartphones and dumb parents? Amen. Amen. God the Father is always willing to listen. And then today we need to understand that God makes promises and keeps them. He makes promises and he keeps those promises. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so regardless of where we've come to and where we've come from, regardless of where we are in our parenting life, if Jesus is in our life, we have a hope for glory. We have a hope for success as a parent. I have the hope of success as a daddy. Regardless of what mistakes, regardless of what wrongs, regardless of how departed from the way I was or way I should have been, regardless, if Jesus is in my life, I can finish my course as a successful daddy. I can. If Jesus is not in your life, you're not going to finish the course as a successful parent, be you mother or father. It's not going to happen. With Jesus, we can be all we're supposed to be. Without Him, we cannot be. And I know children today that are hungry. Some of them old people. I remember when I met my wife's grandpa. I met him on his 100th birthday. Got saved when he was 87 years old. When I met him, he said, "Preacher, they're going to ask you to pray in a little bit. And when they do, would you please throw in a little preach?" I said, "Can I tell them you asked me to?" He said, "Yes, sir, you can." He said, "I have children that are over 80 years old that are not saved. I have failed them, and I've got to make up for lost time." At 100 years old, he believed that he and the Lord Jesus could make up for his lost time as a poor daddy. Less than what he could have been as a daddy. You can too. I can too. I think there's some words that most kids never hear from their daddy. And it would probably change their life if they could hear it in sincerity. One of those phrases is, "Child, I was wrong." No, most daddies are too busy blaming somebody else. The police department, the school system, the neighbor boys, the neighbor girls, the car that somebody else gave them or bought them. There's always an excuse. But if I haven't been a good daddy in any area of my life with any one of my children, it's not the police department's fault. It's not social services' fault if I have been a failure as a daddy. It's my fault. And until your children hear you say, "I was wrong," many of them are not much interested in what else you have to say. One of the hardest things to say to a child is, "I was wrong," and then follow that up with, "Forgive me. Forgive me." Most children wouldn't know how to accept that. They wouldn't know what to think. They might call the paramedics. Might want a doctor on the scene pretty quick. Because they've never heard daddy say, "I was wrong, forgive me." And if we're going to finish the race toward glory and be successful in what I believe is one of the most vital areas of our life, that of being a parent, we need to make some amends maybe. And those amends start with, "I was wrong, forgive me." The third one is, "I really do love you. I really do love you." My daddy wasn't real emotional. My daddy wasn't real an expression of affection and love. He didn't do that very often. But I still remember, especially one particular time, I was wrestling with some things in my life. Of course, I wasn't a Christian. And as I wrestled with those things, my dad and I met in the kitchen, going between rooms. He reached over and he put his arm around my shoulder. He pulled me up close to him and he said, "Son, you know I love you." And here 65 years later, I still remember that. There's power in honesty. There's power in connecting with your children and talking to your children and conversing with your children. But you have to be there. You have to be there in order for that to happen. And so I trust today that on this Daddy's Day, 2021, that you have allowed God to speak to your heart. And if there's something, if you say, boy, that's right, that's right, that's right. Would you get it right with God? Don't just agree with the preacher, but agree with God. And really, that's what confession is when God taps on our heart and reminds us of something that we did do we shouldn't have done, or that we didn't do that we should have done, and we agree with the charge. That's what confession is. And if God has spoken to your heart today, wouldn't you just agree with the charge and leave here saying, there is hope. It can happen. It can be done. We serve a God that's wonderful. We serve a God that's terrific. We serve a God that can do anything if we don't get in His way. I mentioned this earlier this morning. I was so impressed with it a year ago, I made a mark of it in my Bible. In the reading of today, if you're going by today's schedule of reading through the Bible that Bethel Baptist Church puts out every year, you were in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. In that portion of Scripture, there's 24 men mentioned by name. And then it mentions that each of those men had themselves, their sons, and their brothers, and it totaled 12. I dare say you couldn't go across America, you couldn't go around the world today and find 24 men that met that description, to where themselves, their sons, and their brothers totaled 12 people. And God mentions 24 of them. You see, God already had that all worked out. God worked it out for him. God worked it out for him. God worked it out for him. And he and his sons and his, yeah, he and his sons and his brothers, he and his sons and his brothers, he and his sons, each one of them totaled 12. How do you do that? You do that because you're God. And God, our Father, puts little things like nuggets like that in the Bible so we can say, well, if God could do that, couldn't God fix my problem? Not if you don't give it to Him. And that's why the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And so today, I want to be a daddy like our Father. And the question to you today, men, is, do you want to be? Do you want to be? You can be. We can be. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Let's bow our heads, please.